couple of weeks ago, the new Paul movie came out, which is doing okay in the box office. You can still go see it. And that's pretty remarkable, considering the subject matter, that it's still out there. And I read some of the reviews online, which is always dangerous. Some were good, others not. But what you want to do when you're reading anything online, by the way, this is a rule of thumb, don't read the comments. People always comment on an article, on a blog, or something. Avoid the comments, no matter what, unless you have your Tums nearby. Now, one comment on a major newspaper review said something to the effect of, "Just what we need." This is about Paul. Another movie about a mythological character. So this just got my blood boiling. Now we have a faith, of course, that is supernatural, that makes supernatural claims, many of which we must choose to believe or not. But our faith is not one that has to suspend reason or that believes in fairy tales. How many of you believe in Socrates, Aristotle, Aristophanes? These are philosophers, right? Guess what? They have no record of these three philosophers until 1,000 years after the fact. Think about that. And yet people doubt the existence of Paul. And of course, some would dare say they doubt the existence of Jesus. You see where I'm going with this, Thomas. When were the earliest records of Jesus' resurrection written? Go back further. 55. Who wrote them? It was actually Paul. 1 Corinthians is one of the earliest documents in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talks about the resurrection of Jesus. He talks about his own experience as well in his letters. And of course, Mark is very old as well, probably about 60, maybe even earlier. So let's forget about the comments online, shall we? I guess I'm talking to myself here. This is why you give up social media for Lent and all that stuff. But let's get to Thomas's doubts and what they say about our own. Now, first century folks did believe in the supernatural, and perhaps more than our culture does. But they didn't believe in coming back from the dead any more than anyone else. They believed in a resurrection of the body, but not empty tombs. Go throughout the Gospels and look and see how many of the people were surprised. How many were surprised? 100%. None of them said, "Oh yeah, he said he was going to do this." Right? They were all surprised. What did they believe about the resurrection in the first century? Well, in Luke's Gospel, Jesus tells a parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And you know how it goes. Now, it's important on a number of levels. It has a moral. But you do notice from reading that parable how Jesus and many of the first century Jews viewed the afterlife. The resurrection of the dead is not a given in many places in the Old Testament. Pick up the book of Ecclesiastes and see if the author believes in the resurrection of the dead. It's kind of iffy. But in Jesus' parable, the poor man, Lazarus, dies after living a life of poverty, hunger, and begging. Now, after death, he is with Abraham in paradise. And yet it's not quite paradise. The rich man, who lived a life of affluence and who ignored Lazarus's plight, also dies and finds himself in a place of suffering. Hades. Not exactly hell, but kind of like hell. And there, the rich man is aware of Lazarus and his place in Abraham's world. For some way, he can see it. Somehow the rich man is able to speak to Abraham and asks if Lazarus can come and cool his tongue with a drop of water in his torment. Abraham says he cannot, for the rich man chose his fate. And besides, says Abraham, there is a chasm fixed between us. The rich man says, "Then, Father, I beg you to send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes back from the dead and tells them, they will repent." And here is the key. Abraham said, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." And those are actually ominous words from Jesus, because they are a foreshadow of what has been the case for many centuries. Despite the resurrection, many don't believe. But who can blame Thomas? Now, at this point in our gospel reading, he seems to be holding the disciples at arm's length. He has heard from the women and from the disciples that the Lord is risen indeed. But sorrow and doubt have overtaken him. Now, Thomas is out when Jesus appears the first time to the disciples. Was he soul-searching? Was he weeping? The painter Caravaggio, who painted that famous Thomas picture in front on the front of your bulletin there, he was often plagued by doubt and alcohol. Perhaps Thomas's doubts drove him to a bottle or to his nets on the Sea of Galilee. Maybe both. Yet here is Thomas, back among his friends, and Jesus is there too. Now, many people have had experiences of dead loved ones where something, some kind of message comes through. Raise your hand if you've ever had that kind of experience. This is not what happened to Thomas. This is not in any way what happened to Thomas. It wasn't a message. Now, there can be debate whether or not he actually touched Jesus. It doesn't say. But Jesus showed him the physicality of his resurrected body. This was not a secret message from the dead, as powerful as those can be. This was not a phantom. This was not a mystical vision. This was the physicality of Jesus. And what was Thomas's response? Now, scholars will point out that for all the language of divinity attributed to Jesus found in the book of John, and there's lots, what Thomas said was the most explicit. "My Lord and my God." And literally it reads, "The Lord, the God." It was huge. This was a creedal statement. This was better than the Nicene Creed in some ways. And when Jesus talks to him, "Blessed are you who you've seen me and believe," I don't think he's rebuking him. I think he's just sending a message. Blessed are those who have not seen and still believe. And you should be aware of the evidence and other evidence that support the New Testament. But the greatest evidence is the transformed lives that result from the resurrection. Thomas is one of them. And we might say, we live in a secular, cynical time. Is it possible for people to be transformed? For people to change? Is that really possible? Now, there's pretty good evidence that Thomas became the apostle to the East. to Persia, and eventually India. And it is said that he suffered martyrdom, ironically, by a lance, echoing his desire to put his finger in the side of Christ, where Christ had been lanced. Christianity grew from 3,000 in the book of Acts to 30 million by the 4th century. And during that time, persecution, martyrdom, and social shaming were the order of the day. From James to Paul to Peter to Thomas to Perpetua and Felicitas to the many who were unnamed, who were humiliated by their neighbors. People of every age have died for what they believed in, for many different things. However, do you know anyone who have died for something they didn't believe in? The apostles and their spiritual descendants believed in Jesus' resurrection. Some who had seen Jesus and others who just believed in the message of the apostles. But what about you? How deep, how wide does your belief in the resurrection go? Go beyond the Christian heroic martyrdoms. Think of those early Christians, those early followers of Jesus, those living their everyday lives, those who don't have dates on the calendar, those who are followers of Jesus who just took this emotional toll of believing and practicing a faith that was ridiculous to everyone around them. As one scholar has written, early Christians experienced social ostracism and humiliation. 1 Peter describes the believers enduring a fiery ordeal. They were reprimanded for the name of Christ. Tacitus, who wrote about the Christians under Nero, said they were hated for their abominations, and they promoted a deadly and dangerous superstition. The Christians were a threat to the social order, and they were cast aside for it. They were willing to do so because they believed in the resurrection. Well, I close with this. What is unique about the Gospels, especially John chapter 20, which we read last week and this week, is that Jesus gives each person just what they need. Mary Magdalene simply needed to hear her name from Jesus. She just needed to hear him say, Mary. John simply needed to go in the tomb and see the little cloth folded up. That was enough. Peter needed a little more. He gets his restoration in John chapter 21. And of course, Thomas needed to see and in his mind to touch. Ask yourself, what do you need? What do you need to really believe in the deepest sense? And then dare to ask Christ to show himself to you. Amen.